All right. So glad to be in the Sunshine State. I'm from Tennessee, but don't hold that against me. Just glad to be able to be here and share with you. The relationship that I have with your pastor and the First Lady is we've known each other, Brent and I were just talking about 16 years. It's been a long time. This church shares in five other churches. We're in association together. What we mean by that is it's not geographically, but it's basically like-minded churches all the way from Missouri to down here to Florida. So we're glad to be able to do life together. And let me say this to you. You cannot find a better church family to be led of than Pastor Brent and Christine. I've known them for a long time. Yes, give them a hand. I love them so much, and I'm going to tell you what, anybody that can launch a church during a hurricane and it still survive, that's saying something, people. I'm telling you right now. That is amazing, and that's what God has done, and I'm so proud of them. And so be sure you tell those in your community, your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers, people in your cul-de-sac, hey, if we're looking for a church family, come to Kairos. You won't find a better family to be led up by this wonderful pastor and wife, and I love them dearly. And I mean, they're not Mormons. I mean, they got a lot of kids, you know, but they got, you know, I mean, they're just, you know, they're just figuring out that God, they made God laugh. It's kind of like, you know, Abraham and Sarah, but I ain't going to go that direction with the message. But anyway, they have all these kids, and I love them so much and dearly. So will you give them some love again? Please do that. I love them so much. Thankful for the staff and all those that volunteer and what God is doing here. So Shannon and I, my wife and I, we've been married. We'll be 36 years this coming September. And here is a picture of our family. We're not Mormons either. We just... Those are my three daughters, and we have our 12th, 13th, and 14th grandchild on the way. Is that amazing or what? My youngest daughter has twins on the way. The girl to the left there, that's Lily, my oldest, and her family. Then the one in the middle is my youngest there beside Shanda, and they're five right now. She's pregnant with twins. Of course, Lily over the left's pregnant with another, and that's India over to the right. And she is the preacher of the family, better preacher than me. But anyway, they all love Jesus, and all of our son-in-laws are in ministry. My oldest daughter's husband, they pastor a church in Missouri. But I love them very much. And since we have 12, 13, and 14th grandchildren on the way, we're going to put up a GoFundMe code. So get your phones out. I'm just kidding. But anyway, what was amazing was somebody had a prayer request about being intentional about parenting. And I looked at Brent and I went, because today that's what I'm talking about is intentional parenting. So when people ask me about what the most difficult thing about parenting is, it's really simple. It's the kids. You know, when you think about kids, you know, Shannon and I spent one summer kidless, and then we started having children, and then my number one job from then on was pretty well turning lights off behind my kids and saying no. I don't know about you. But anyway, you know, and then, of course, we had our kids, and they started having kids. When we taught our girls the Word of God to be fruitful and multiply, they took it serious, you know. But anyway, one thing about, we always say that silence is golden, but when you have kids, silence is suspicious, right? You know what I'm saying? So, but it's really important. I found out that if you're here, how many of you here have teenagers? Anybody have teenagers? Yes, everybody got teenagers? Yes, it's very, very important that you have a dog during the teenage years, especially for a dad, because you want somebody that's happy to see you when you get home. Just being honest, okay? I'm just being honest with it. I mean, I had a dog. His name was Rhett. It was a collie, and I loved him. But when you get to be older as a parent, what I have found out, when they need something, I don't get up as fast as I used to. I kind of grunt because she's sore-like, you know, and stuff. And now that I'm Papa T, that's what my grandkids call me, it's even harder when I get up and I grunt. So, let me ask you this question. How many of you here that are parents would describe parenting as tough? Raise your hand. Yes. Single parents, if you're a single parent here, you're not going to describe it as tough. You're going to say it's impossible. Now, let me ask this question. How many of you here, and you don't have to raise your hand, there's probably some of you here that may be boomerang parents. You say, what do you mean? We launched them and they're back, you know, kind of thing, you know? That happens, you know. Now, how about grandparents, okay? How many grandparents we have here? Yes, yes, yes. Of course, we always say you'd love to have had them. You'd have had them first. And then how about those here that are empty nesters? Any empty nesters? It's easy to spot them because they're the ones with the biggest smile on their face. You know what I'm saying? Honestly, you know. But how about brand new parents? We got any brand new parents Any brand new parents here in the audience? You know, if it is, we'll bring you up here, anoint you with oil, and pray over you, okay? Because that's going to be a tough season there. But there's one more category. And because I want you to stay with me today. You don't have kids. You don't like kids. You don't want kids. You don't even want to live near kids. Now, don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. That's okay if that's you. But this message I'm going to share with you today is beneficial for everybody because it's really just about healthy relationships with your fellow man, with your family, and with God. Now, let me ask this question. How many of you have kids that are in school presently or homeschool? Raise your hand. Yes. Well, you know, when you think about that, you do everything you can do to help them to get good grades. You be able to help them. You may be pursuing some kind of activities, some kind of sport. They're going to be doing things. And maybe you're thinking about helping them with a career path by what they talk about. Or maybe you're even looking at a college fund. But my question is for you today, for all of you that have kids, do you have a spiritual plan? Do you have a spiritual plan? There's great joy in parenting. But as we all know, there's also a lot of pain. And a lot of times, we don't mean not to have a spiritual plan, but it's very important that we have the right priority, the right intentions to follow through with our actions. And if you're not yet a parent, and one day you're going to be a parent, or you're being that person that's got a niece or a nephew or somebody, because we all have influence, what is our primary priority? Well, it's very simple. A parent's priority is to intentionally lead their kids from dependence on you to completely on God. That's most important. That is the parental priority. That is the parental guidance. And see, when kids are little, they depend fully upon us. But there's going to come a point in time that your priority needs to be to teach them to completely depend upon God and to be faithful to God and to seek God. Because there's going to be a time that you're not around to answer the questions. Or there's going to be a time that you may not be around to help them. And who they seek is what makes all the difference. Moses gave one of the greatest teachings on parenting in the Bible that ever was. Moses struck the rock in this setting in history here. He struck the rock instead of speaking to the rock to get the water, so God basically forbid him to be able to go into the promised land. So he began to build into Joshua for Joshua to be able to lead him in. But he's on the plains of Moab, and he gives one last great challenge for that current generation that would have impact on the generations to come. And this is what it says here in the first couple of verses of Deuteronomy 6. It says, "These are the commands, decrees, and regulations that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you. You must obey them in the land you are about to enter and occupy. And you and your children and grandchildren must fear the Lord your God as long as you live. If you obey all his decrees and commands, you will enjoy a long life." See, as you teach your children to fear the Lord, and fear of the Lord is not being scared of God, which we ought to be, but it's giving him reverence and honor for the rightful place that he needs to have in our hearts and our lives. But we live according to his commands. Not only as you do that, you will have a changed life for the better. But think about the next generational impact that you have that makes a difference by living for the Lord, by seeking the Lord, by being an example of the Lord. And if as parents, we train our children not to always depend on us, but transferring that dependence, not to be upon themselves, not to be upon earthly things, but instead upon God, their creator. Do you realize as a parent that God has put within you the power to change generations to generations and generations to come, beginning with you today? So I want to talk about an intentional parenting plan and just a couple things. First and foremost is to love God solely. Say that with me. Love God solely. I mean that, breathe that, live that. Look at these next couple of verses in Deuteronomy 6. It says here, Moses is saying, "Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone." Did you know that the Hebrews would actually recite this three times a day? And it goes on to say, "And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength." Do you see those three participles of this verse here? It says to love your God with what? Say it out loud. What's next? And what's next? So your heart, your soul, and your strength. And many of us, if not all of us, love God, if we're not careful, with just a little bit of our hearts. And that's one of the most dangerous things we could ever do, especially in the parental season that God allows us to be able to expose our kids to a little bit of God. You say, what do you mean? How many of you here have either taken a flu shot or you've had one before and know somebody's had a flu shot? You know what I'm talking about? Anybody had a flu shot? Okay, no right or wrong answer. Well, see, when you get the flu shot, basically they give you just a little bit of the flu to make you immune from the whole intense part of getting the flu and it wrecking you for a week or two. Well, see, like the flu, many parents, listen to me closely, many parents unknowingly give their kids just a little bit of God, the things of God. And you know what that ends up doing? It can make them immune to all of his goodness, to all of his glory, to all of his power, and to all of his majesty. They find themselves not meaning to, giving them just a little bit of God, not knowing God personally in their lives and intimately in a life-changing way. Would we live in a life where that if we don't take it serious about God and the wholeness of God, do we live in a world that distracts us? How many of you agree with me? The world distracts us, right? And it can distract us from loving God with all our heart, our soul, and our strength. Parents, here's where parents are in it, because I've been a parent, and I've had my failures, and I've had my successes. I've made my mistakes, and I've had to say I'm sorry. I don't know about you, but I hope you do humble yourself and say that to your kids, because we all mess up at times. But parents think a lot of times, and I know this from living in this wonderful country we live in, we think, well, if I can pour myself into my career, I'll be able to get my kids all that they want, and we want to give them the best opportunity, which we all want to give them great opportunities, whether it's something great in school or sports or hobbies, and we end up filling up their schedules with all kinds of things, and it makes the whole family just very, very busy. And when they get 16, what do they tell you? Even at 15, I've got to have a car. I got to have a car. If you don't get them a car, it's child abuse, right? Yeah, are you with me? Okay. And all the while, you might be trying to do your best to maybe even save for giving them an education, yet we're not really giving our children, if we're not careful, because of the world that we live in, the things that they really need, which is a rich, deep relationship, ultimately with God alone through his son, Jesus Christ. We got to be really careful that we don't become child-centered parents instead of God-centered parents. I hope you understand what I'm talking about there. Our lives can end up revolving around our children instead of our family revolving around God. When I'm out and about, and I pastor Freedom Church north of Nashville, we started the church back in 2002, and God has blessed us, and we've grown, and God has blessed us and seen a lot of life change, a lot of families. And like here at Kairos, our children ministry is, we put our money where our mouth is, and we love our kids ministry, and we put a lot of focus on that. But when I'm out and about, just like Pastor Brent, and maybe some of you that's on staff, or maybe some people you see, especially as a pastor, when I'm out and about, I'll see people that I hadn't seen at church in a while, maybe in members of our church. And I don't say anything to them, where you been? I promise you, when they see me, they're thinking about they hadn't been there, right? So I don't go up, and I'm not the kind to beat the sheep. That's not my job. The conviction of the Spirit does that. But when I haven't seen them in a while, you end up conversating, how are you going? How's the family doing? Here's what usually comes out. We've just been real busy. You know, we've just been real busy. Hadn't seen you in a while, Pastor. We've just been real busy. Busy, 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 busy. That's all I hear is busy, busy, busy. So in my heart, I think, you love the Lord your God. You would tell me that with all your heart, but you don't have time to worship God who gives you heartbeat and gives you a breath with God's people to honor his name. What kind of message, parents, does that send your kids? What kind of message does that send of what your priorities are? Because I promise you, your priorities will be their priorities, and less than that. How important is our involvement in having a church family? This is some stats that I found that is a very interesting study that I thought. It says kids who become active Christ followers as adults. If mom and dad went to church, 72% of those kids will as adults. If only mom went to church, 15% of the kids will go to church and have been involved in church family as adults. If dad only went to church, it goes back up to 55% that will be a part of a church family as adults. Speed of leader, speed of the team. Fathers really have a great impact. Nothing against moms. Listen, a mom's work's never done. It's 24/7, but dads are made to be the spiritual leaders of the home. But yet, if neither mom nor dad, it drops to 6% of kids will become active Christ followers as adults. See, you love the Lord your God with all your heart. And that means not only in our words and what we say as lip action, but it's actually action from our lives. Parents, do you love the Lord your God with all of your heart? Or does your action say it's some of your heart? Some or a little bit isn't what our kids need. They need the whole counsel of God. They need God's glory to be reflected through you. You be a reflection of the perfection of Jesus beaming down on your kids' lives. What would happen if let's say hypothetically that I hung around this evening and I spent the night here in this area and I just walked in your home this evening, unannounced, and I could just observe your home for one night. What would be the conversations? What would be the language? What would be the history on your computer? What would be the TV shows? What would be how you spend your time? What would be how you spend your money? So, where does God rank? Not what you hope he'll rank, not what you say he'll rank, not what you pretend he ranks, but who you are really. When it comes to your life. As parents, the best thing that we'll ever do for our children is to love God with all of our hearts, in our actions, in our thoughts, in our deeds. We love God solely. But there's one more thing. You lead your family with conviction, not convenience. You say, well, what do you mean, Pastor? See, leading with conviction means that you make all of your decisions based on your core beliefs, guided by God's truth in his word, even when it's hard, even when it's unpopular, even when it's inconvenient for you. It's about having a clear vision of what's right. It's having a clear vision for your family to say, this is what honors God and what's best for my family's spiritual health. And we stick to it no matter what. Convenience, on the other hand, that's just following that path of least resistance. I've been guilty of that as a parent. It prioritizes comfort, ease, and temporary peace over that long-term purpose. See, convenience says, let's just do what's easiest right now. Because I'm tired. I'm going to work. I've worked a lot of overtime this week. Such and such has been sick. This and that. Convenience says basically that we'll do it because it's easy. But conviction says let's do what's right even if it costs us. We're going to stay the course. As parents and spouses and leaders in the home, there's going to be countless moments that you're going to be tempted to compromise because it's quicker, because it's quieter, and because sometimes it really is easier. But God has called us to something higher, to lead with a heart that's anchored in his word, to be able to lead and not be swayed by our emotions, not be swayed by what culture's doing, not be swayed by some kind of peer pressure. Conviction-driven leadership is having those hard conversations to be able to say no when others are saying yes and stay the course when everyone else may be drifting. You're staying the course. My oldest daughter, Lily, graduated in 2009. And she came to me before graduation and she said, Dad, I want to go to Florida on a senior trip with my friends. How many of you here have ever been on a senior trip when you graduated? Raise your hand. All right. How many of you would like to come up here and tell everything you did on your senior trip? No takers? I didn't think so. Anyway, Anyway, Lily was a good girl. She had her problems. She had her things that she did. She was not a perfect kid, by no means. Nobody's kids are perfect. None of us are perfect, only Jesus. But anyway, because of what I know and what can happen in the season that they're in, very vulnerable, and knowing my daughter, I told her no. Well, it broke her heart. I said, you don't understand. You know what really got me that brought my decision? Was what happened in 2005 with Natalie Holloway. How many of you remember what happened to her? They still never found the child's body. She just wanted to go on a senior trip. See, sometimes you're going to make decisions as a parent that you have to live with or not thereof. It models integrity. You model faithfulness. You model courage over time. And it shapes your family's Christ-like culture that ultimately reflects the heart of Jesus. Your family will stand firm when the storms of life are going to hit. Remember, convenience builds comfort. Conviction builds character. That's what it does. Spiritual leadership for our families comes from these verses here. It says in verses 6 and 7 in Deuteronomy 6, it says, and you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road. In other words, when you're driving to school, when you're taking them to t-ball practice, when you're taking them to gymnastics, when you're going to the store, to the grocery. It says, when you are going to bed and when you are getting up, we intentionally lead our families spiritually. See, spiritual talk is something more than what we do when we're on our way to church or we're talking at lunch after church. It's 7 days a week. It is a spiritual lifestyle that we lead our children spiritually. Now, for Shannon and I, we were intentional about leading our family spiritually. And the things I'll share with you, this is not for everybody. This is just what we did, okay? And as we prayed in our own conviction, we valued our family time. Church was never optional with our kids. You say, what do you mean? My children never came up to me and asked me this question, are we going to church today, Daddy? They knew what we were going to do on Sunday unless we're on vacation or sick, where you couldn't go. You understand what I'm saying? That was never an option on that. That's what we do. We give honor to the name of Jesus. We're in his house. If you don't like going to church here, you might not like heaven because this is for eternity. Eternity means world without end, okay? See what I'm saying? Also, in our family, we only let our children do one activity at a time. We had 3 girls, 2 parents. You do the math, okay? I can't imagine Pastor Brent and Christine. I ain't even gonna go there. But one activity at a time. We didn't allow our girls to have jobs as teenagers outside the home. You say, wow, that's weird. This is us. What we did, we had a family unit in our home. If they needed money, long as they did their chores around the house, we gave them money. There was no such thing as allowance. There's no such thing as free money, okay? I don't know about you, but I don't see free money. So it's just what we did. There was no sports that we allowed them to do that interfered with Sunday or Wednesday. I personally believe that travel ball that's on Sunday is of the devil. That's me. You can say what you want to, but you know what they do? They sling a verse out there. Let's read a verse of scripture. Now let's play ball. I mean, where's honor for the Lord's church? Okay, that's just me, okay? And when it come to discipline, I disciplined my children. Sometimes they got a spanking, sometimes it was other measures. But we always, when it come to discipline, had them to quote scripture. I think that was worst of all for them. I'm telling you, we'd have them to this day, they can quote Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And when it come to their squabbles, that they get into, you know, cat fights between sisters, you know what I'm saying? We made them hug it out, baby. They hugged it out. When it comes to Shannon and I being in the thick of parenting, we dated. Still, we dated. Because I dated to get my wife, so I keep dating to be able to keep my wife. I like that logic. I don't know about you. Did you know I seen a study here a while back. This is pretty interesting. The study I saw here a while back was that the largest divorce rate is between age 45 to 55. Do you understand what that is? It's because a lot of times when we become child-centered parents, not God family-centered parents, but child-centered parents, when you launch those kids, next thing you know, and they're not in your home, you look at each other and say, who are you? Because you didn't focus on the relationship that brought you together for a relationship to be able to keep you together. And if our girls ever popped off to their mom and in a disrespectful way, I never did say, don't talk to your mom like that. I said, don't talk to my wife like that. Because I wanted them to know how that a man should treat a woman so they'd know how to find a man that treats a woman right. I had daddy-daughter dates. I love that. I still have daddy-daughter dates. They still ask me about going to different things and doing different things. And when it comes to family situations, you know, there's some things you don't involve your children in that you might be praying through, but there's a lot of things that we want to involve our family. We ask them, this is what's going on with our family. These are things I want all of us to pray about. There's power in prayer. Now, what I've shared with you from my personal experience, it might be counterculture to you, but it can set a standard for your family, a godly standard. And if your heart is totally surrendered to the Lord, parents, you're in charge. That's what I want you to know. Just because everyone else is doing it, that doesn't mean that it's the right godly standard for our families when we are Christians. So don't be so concerned about your children's immediate happiness, but you need to be more concerned about their holiness and the full pursuit of God in every single way in their lives. And when you do, it'll make a difference in the long run, I promise you. So how do we lead them? Well, the Bible calls it direction. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. It says, direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. Another version says, train up a child in the way they should go, and they'll not leave it. See, we initiate, but we not only initiate, but we dedicate our lives to be able to direct in our children onto the right path. We want to stir up in them this spiritual craving for what's true and what's right and what's pure and what's lovely. Like Philippians 4 and 8 tells us. And when they see the fruit of that, they'll see in the long run, God of heaven really works. You know, God, a couple years ago, there's an author in our church, and he challenged me about writing my own story in a book, and he helped me do the first one. I never saw myself, it just shocks me if I go to Amazon there, I got a couple books on there. But anyway, when I was 18 years old, I was put in jail for dealing marijuana. I went from being a dope dealer to a hope dealer. I prayed in jail two things. I said, God, if you'll get me out of the mess I got myself in, because I gave my life to Christ when I was 12, but I got with the wrong crowd. I said, I'll do anything you want me to if you'll get me out of the mess I got. And I said, second to that, if you'll send me a good woman to give me the incentive to get away from that crowd I'm in, I said, I'll do anything you want me to. I'll raise my family in the ways of the Lord. And I look back all these years and God answered that. So I put that in the first book. But then God put on my heart solely last November to put down in a book about parenting. And actually, it's going to be a trilogy. The next one I'm going to do is, the next two I'm going to do is one on marriage, one on grandparenting. But anyway, I didn't write this book and put the words into it because what I did was right. I put it into this book on parenting because we tried our best to do it God's way. And I asked my girls, I'm sorry, I'm a weeping prophet, I can't help it. I asked my girls if they would write an excerpt in chapter 12 from all three of them. And reluctantly, especially, you know, busy as they are, they did. But it was amazing to me in preparing the word how that it come out. But this is just three small excerpts. I just want to read to you what they put in here. My oldest daughter, Lily, said, I feel the longing in my heart to obey his commands and trust him with my whole heart, leaning not on my own understanding, Proverbs 3:5. I believe that he is working all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. Because of my loving parents. They weren't always perfect, but who is? It is through the perfect image of Jesus that they trained us in the way we should go, knowing that because of their faith, hope, and love for Jesus Christ and their children, that we would not depart from it. It is because of that faith, hope, and love that our children and future generations ahead will have an opportunity to truly know him. Then my middle daughter, India, just a few words of what she wrote. She said, the primary difference between Christian parents and Christ-centered parents is prioritizing obedience to the voice of God at all costs. Parents who are willing to pay any price to obey the voice of God will inevitably model a functional faith with their actions, not just the words. Parenting will not just be a Sunday sermon, but a Monday ministry. God promises to speak to us and guide us in this life. We often are tempted to harden our hearts when the cost of following God seems to be too much, but it is only through obedience that we can live spiritually freed lives and be spiritually freed parents. And my youngest daughter, Chloe, says this, now that I'm a parent myself, I see myself repeating a lot of the same patterns and methods my parents used to raise us. I often find myself singing Rise and Shine to my kids in the morning. Shanda always did that with them. Praying with them regularly, having them recite what they're thankful for or practice hugging it out. However annoying I found it at times as a kid, the truth is that a lot of these seemingly mundane day in and day out parenting patterns is what helped shape me and my sisters into the women we are today. While I know not everyone had the privilege of growing up in a stable, safe Christian household, I am so thankful and honored to have had that example laid out for me. And the beauty of it all is that no matter what your past is or where you may find yourself in your own parenting journey, our God is a redeemer, and there's hope in Jesus. There is no generational curses or addictions that he can't break, and you could be the very one he's using to change your family tree. Our parental priority and the roles is to lead our kids to full dependence upon God, no longer depending on us, but just on God. So how do we do that? We love God solely. It starts with us, our example. And then we lead our kids intentionally with conviction, not convenience. If we let a life half-heartedly happen, it's going to happen. Time is going to go by, and I promise you there's going to come a day that you might have already done this, or you're going to face doing this. You're going to kiss your kids goodbye. You're either going to send them off to college. You're going to walk them down the aisle, and you're going to look back and say, wow, where did that season go so fast to? How many of you here love your kids and grandkids? Raise your hand. I want to challenge you to partner with Kairos Church. They want to be a partner with you to help you lead your kids together to be fully devoted followers of Christ. And I leave you with this question. Are you leading your kids, or are your kids leading you? See, all these great activities and things that we get into are going to pass away. But if you expose your kids to the great truths of God, you teach them about his power, you teach them about his goodness, you teach them about prayer and the faithfulness of God, and you teach them that he can be trusted, that there is truth in God's word and everything that's taking place, and that there's an infilling presence in the power of the Holy Spirit, that he will empower you, that he will lead you, that he will counsel you, that he will guide you, that he will correct you, and he will give you purpose and a great future. The most important thing you'll ever do, hands down, is to lead your kids to Jesus. Do you know him today? And when you know that they are in Jesus, living for Jesus, then you are preparing them to go into a world to make a difference and be world changers. Parents, your role is absolutely important. I cannot tell you how much it is, and that season will go by fast. You can direct them and be a generational changer. Would you stand with me as we pray? Father, we love you, we praise you, and we honor you. And God, I ask today for the Holy Spirit's presence and power to come in and speak to every heart. We all have influence, and I challenge that you would stir us up in a life-changing way, Father, that you would bless each one here, God, and touch them. And God, thank you for loving us first. May we love you back by being obedient to you, God. May the overflow of your Spirit be in our midst. How many of you here are parents or your grandparents or you have influence on this younger generation? Would you just raise your hand real high right now? Raise your hand real high. Would you just pray right now and say, God, give me strength to be a power-filled parent, a power-filled influencer. Lord, may you lead me and touch me, and may I avail my life to you solely, and may I just lead with conviction, not convenience. May I stand on your word. May I stand on your values, your strength, and your power to be everything, to be that incredible example of you in my life. Ask him that right now. Maybe you're here today and we continue praying. Maybe you've never asked Jesus into your heart and you just happen to show up today. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to ask you that question. It's the most important question you'll ever answer in your life. Your decision determines destiny. And if you right now have never given your heart to Christ, that's why you're here today, friend. You're not here just because someone invited you or someone bribed you to come with lunch afterwards or whatever. You're here because Jesus Christ wants to come into your heart and life. He came down the stairway of heaven. He put on skin. He was tempted in every way that you and I are tempted, yet he never sinned and became sin for us and paid for our sin debt. And he wants to give you salvation that when you leave this world, and you will stand before God one day, you can make Jesus the Lord of your life, and he will help you now and forever. So I'm going to count to three, and if you're 99% sure, you're 100% not where you need to be with Jesus. I'm going to count to three, and I want to challenge you to do something that Jesus is knocking on your heart to give your life to him for the first time. On the count of three, I want you to shoot your hand up. One, two, three. Shoot your hand up right now. God bless you. I see that hand. I see that hand. I'm proud of you. Anyone else? Anyone else? I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm just going to ask you to pray right where you're at and just ask Jesus right now. Say, Lord Jesus, I invite you into my heart. I am a sinner in need of you as a Savior. I believe you came for me, you died for me, and you arose for me to save me. Transform my heart. I don't want to live my life this way any longer. I surrender my whole life to you today. Forgive me of my sins, Jesus. Save me. Now, if you've prayed that and you meant that from the bottom of your heart, thank Jesus. He's going to give you the power of the Holy Spirit. And as you do that, thank him for that. You're going to feel his presence and power. And be sure that you tell someone in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And everybody says, amen.